listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey there, thanks for joining us again at An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Amanda here with my friend Tim Tarantine, and we get to hear all about a really great conversation that Tim had this week.
Absolutely. I got to speak to Dennis Cuneo. He's with DC Strategic Advisors, and Dennis brings unique experience. He is currently a senior advisor to Toyota and several of the Toyota Group companies, and he formerly served as senior vice president of Toyota Motor North America. He was one of Toyota's first American manufacturing executives and played a key role in making sure that Toyota had manufacturing operations here in North America. Hi, Dennis. This is Tim with Consultant Connect. Welcome to the podcast and congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Well, thank you, Tim. I look forward to speaking with you.
We're going to dive right in because people want to know all about you and get your wisdom. So let me start where we always do. What are three things everyone should know about you?
Well, I was a former senior vice president of Toyota, where I had a number of responsibilities, including site selection. Currently, in addition to my site selection consulting practice, I'm a partner in Fisher & Phillips, which is a national law firm. And I serve on several boards, including two Fortune 500 companies. And I've been involved in site selection from all angles, as an inside executive leading the process, as a consultant, and then at the board level approving new projects.
Amazing. Dennis, the New York Times deal book said that you and Elvis have a lot in common. As a matter of fact, they said you are comparable to Elvis in the economic development world. Tell us about that meaning and how you and Elvis got to be so closely related in terms of your stature in the industry.
Well, I had the good fortune to work with Toyota, and you know, I was in charge of site selection for several large projects. I've probably done as many so-called mega projects as anyone, you know, projects of $1 billion or more, employ several thousand people. And I did that over a period when Toyota was in a period of rapid growth. So I did quite a few of these large projects, and I got to know quite a few economic development agencies, and I had many of them contacting me over the years. And when I retired from Toyota, I stayed active in site selection. In fact, 2 years ago, I had a $1 billion pipe and steel mill that we sited down in Shreveport, Louisiana. So I guess that's the reason. And, you take every accolade that you can get.
Absolutely. So when you're looking at site selection, and obviously you bring a great deal of experience from the private sector's site selection approach, but when you look at a community, when you're assessing communities, tell us one of those inside secrets that you lean on when you're looking at a project. What's the thing that Dennis always does when you approach a project?
Right up front, I try to assess the staff working on behalf of the community because that's very important in the relationship with the state. And you make a quick assessment whether you think that they can, you know, could do the deal and could assist you. And that varies from community to community, but I think it's just a critical factor to have a good local economic development staff that you can work with, are going to be responsive, and that you think that, you know, will make this project successful.
Sure. And to make a project successful, I know our listening audience is really, really wanting to know the answer to this next question. What do you think the key issues are for your clients or the companies that you work with today, and what can economic developers and communities do about it?
Well, first, you know, with a manufacturing project, it starts with the site itself. You have to have the requisite number of acres that are zoned industrial, no nearby residential. You need to have the necessary infrastructure. If it's not at the site, that can be built to the site in time to get your project started. You look at the labor force, the skills, the work ethic, the labor climate. You look at utilities, how reliable are they? Are they in place? What are they going to cost? You look at the regulatory climate, in particular, are you going to be able to get your permits on time? What's the overall business climate in that community? You look at the tax structure. If you are a heavily capitalized project, you know, property tax, for example, would be a big deal. And then you look at the net cost, which is going to be your startup, your launch costs, your operating costs, and you net out incentives. And generally the site you pick is the one that has the lowest overall cost that meets those requirements.
Interesting. So can you cite a best case example of a community or a state that went above and beyond on one of the projects you've worked on? You've worked on many, but can you remember one that really stood out as a rock star performing community?
Well, there have been several, but the one that stands out the most is Tupelo, Mississippi, where we cited a Toyota assembly plant. And Tupelo wasn't on anybody's radar screen when we began the search. And it's a small community. I think the population city itself was only 38,000, and the conventional wisdom would be that that wouldn't be big enough for an auto assembly plant. But that was a place where they had three counties came together, a number of local communities came together, various economic development agencies, and they had a great working relationship with the state. So David Rumbarger headed up the local effort, and then Haley Barber was governor, and Grace Wope was the head of economic development for the state. And those three worked as a terrific team, and you know, it won the project. Of all the places I worked on, I thought that they probably did the very best job because of, you know, such a small community going into the project, you would not have given them a chance.
Sure. And they were able to overcome that by working together.
And this whole thing about working together was important because that leaves an impression, too, when you see different counties working together, different cities, et cetera, because they actually had a site that was sponsored by all three communities.
Sure.
All three counties, which is kind of unusual. So it was quite an effort. They put a lot of thought and time into it, and they just handled the process in a very, very good manner.
Over your time, both with Toyota and the work you're doing now, you probably get inundated with all types of marketing pieces and brochures and websites and stories. What types of marketing strategies work best on you? Which are the ones that are really grabbing your attention?
The stuff that works best for me, first, low-key, and it's just in-person contact, people keeping up, people that I've dealt with, sending an email, stopping in to see me if they're in town, that type of thing. It's just a networking thing. I don't pay very much attention to websites and brochures other than if I have to find out something about a community I've not been in, but I don't pay much attention to the other marketing stuff.
That's probably good news for most communities to hear that. Let me ask you a follow-up question to that. For a community with a limited budget, what are the most effective tools to invest in? Obviously, face-to-face and relationship development. Can you expound more on that for a community who maybe doesn't have big marketing budgets or doesn't have big travel budgets? How can they best compete effectively?
Well, I speak at various conferences, and I often see people from small communities attend. That's how they get to meet site selectors, like Area Development has a set of conferences, and there's others out there. But I think the first thing the community should do is to put together a strategic plan as to what its strengths and weaknesses are, and then target industries that fit into its strength, especially if you're a limited budget. And once you know who those industries are, then maybe you attend those industry trade associations or even target a marketing focus that makes best use of your limited resources. But above all, you need to have some kind of a plan.
So if we could transition now to you as a leader, in your industry, how do you define success?
Well, it's 5 years after a project's been cited that both the community and the company are still happy and would say that if we had to do over again, we'd be here.
Wow.
Mutually beneficial for both.
What do you, while we're speaking on leadership and success, what do you think is one leadership lesson that you carry with you and hope to pass on to others? What's that one kind of redeeming theme that stays with you and you like to share?
Well, you know, forget conventional wisdom and don't ask why, ask why not. And I go back to the Tupelo example. Conventional wisdom was that they should not have been in the hunt for a big auto assembly plant. But they questioned conventional wisdom, asked why not, and they got it.
With that positive mental attitude, there's probably many people who have come to try to land the deal you had and haven't, and it seems to me they still walked away whole because of your positivity. Let me get you out of here on this question. If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would you tell them?
communities in the site selection process are more often losers than winners. And when you're a loser, keep up the relationship with that site selector, that company, because you may be the winner for the next project. And that's happened on several occasions that I've been directly involved with. That would be my piece of advice.
Stick with the stuff. Yeah.
With it. And even if, you know, you're going to lose some, but try to look for the opportunities in those losses.
Dennis, that's great wisdom. You were called Elvis on purpose. You know what you're doing. Your success has been great. And we congratulate you and thank you for sharing some of your insights with us on this podcast. We appreciate what you do for our nation's economy. And certainly we congratulate you on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.